And so we continue to journey through Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. That time when he gathered the people up on the hillside overlooking the Sea of Galilee, out in a field filled with all kinds of different people dealing with all kinds of different things in life. And he taught them about what was important. We've looked at how Jesus began to really make it clear who was important in the kingdom of God. He talked about those people that were blessed, those people that were honorable, those people that were looking at what was really important to the kingdom of God. And we talked about how he was preparing people to send them out into the world to be salt and to be light, to flavor the relationships they were in, to flavor the situations that they were facing, to bring light into dark and difficult moments in people's lives. And so Jesus continues to teach here in Matthew's Gospel. Beginning here at verse, I'm going to read 17 through 20, and then we'll talk a little bit about what's in between, and then we'll talk about verses 33 through 37. Jesus says, "Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law, until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." Then Jesus continued to teach, and he continued to talk about murder. And he continued to talk about things that would separate people from one another. He would go on to say, if you come to the temple, if you come to this place and you're going to offer up your life to God, if you're going to bring your offering into this place, and you get to that altar and you realize you're holding something against somebody else, then just drop your offering where it's at. Go take care of that relationship. Go mend the fences. Go rebuild the bridges. Go get back together. Then come back to the altar and offer it up again. That's how important. You know, offering was at the heart of the Hebrew faith, of the faith of the people that Jesus was talking to. They knew when they were supposed to bring their offerings. They knew what they were supposed to offer up. They knew what rituals had to be lived out in order for them to be offered up. But Jesus is showing them right here in a very real way that relationships are even more important than that. Then he goes on to talk about adultery. He goes on to talk about divorce. And then he moves into this part that's entitled oaths in my Bible. He says, "Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord. But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be your yes, and let your no be your no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one." May God continue to be at work among us this morning, blessing not only the reading and the hearing of God's Word, but by teaching, equipping us, and empowering us to let that Word come alive in the relationships that are a part of our life each and every day. Isn't it wonderful that Jesus comes not only to teach about the kingdom of God? He doesn't come only to tell people what they're going to be doing as a part of the kingdom of God. But he gets right down underneath it all here this morning, and he talks to folks about why he's come. He begins to put his hopes, his dreams, his purpose in life out on the table so that they can know. Jesus is a transparent leader. He's a leader who doesn't really keep a whole lot of secrets from the people that are following him and from the people that he's teaching. He says to the folks, "Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the things their prophets have said. Even though some of Jesus' concepts were sounding new and radical and talking about faith in a different way, he says, don't think that the law doesn't matter anymore. And don't think the things that you've heard before from the prophets don't matter anymore. Because I haven't come to wipe them away, but I've come to bring them to life. I've come to fulfill them. So let's think about the law for a minute. At the heart of the law certainly is the commandments that were handed down on the tablets to Moses on the mountain. And what do they reveal? They reveal the need for people to be in a relationship with God. They reveal things that are a stumbling block to that relationship. And they also reveal the need for people to be in relationship with one another. That none of us is created to be in a bubble. And they point out some of those things that get in the way as well. When Jesus was asked to sum up the law for people because they knew that it was a lot to it and there was a lot to comprehend, he would later say that, well, the law can be summed up this way. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. There was nothing new to what he was saying. He was just showing them what was there in a very, in a little bit clearer way. And he says, I come not only to, it's not that I come to take away that law, but I come to fulfill it. I come to make it happen. In other words, Jesus comes to make that relationship with God possible. He knows that we're not perfect. He knows the impact that sin has on our life. He knows what it means for us to be human. But he comes to overcome all of that so that we can enjoy the original relationship that God created us to be in with all of the other stuff that gets in the way. And he comes to teach and to make possible those relationships that we need with others around us. Because again, we weren't created to live in a bubble. When Jesus took on the flesh, when he became human, when he stepped out into this world to live and to teach, it wasn't in isolation. He didn't live in a tower someplace where nobody could touch him, where nobody could come near him. No, he dwelt among the people. And he taught them in real and practical ways. And he loved them in real and practical ways. As we talked a little bit last week, he came down to that point when he was getting ready to celebrate communion, when he was washing their feet. He says, I want you to go and do likewise. I want you to go and do the same. And then he talks about these things that he calls oaths. And he says, you know, do not swear by heaven, for it's God's throne. Don't swear by earth, for it's his footstool. Don't swear by Jerusalem, for it's the city of the great king. And don't even swear by your own head, for you cannot even make one hair white or black. You know, that's something that's familiar today too. You know, how many times do you hear that? Well, I swear on my mother's grave, or I swear on the Bible, or I swear on this, or I swear on that. And those are things that we offer up sometimes lightly and in jest, and don't even think about what they're meaning. Jesus is saying, don't make these kind of oaths because you really don't know what lies ahead. Simply let your yes be your yes, and your no be your no. You know, there's freedom in that. There's freedom in when we come to that place of letting our yes be the yes and the no be the no. When we don't go about our life and our day, every day, making promises that we'll never be able to keep. And I think he raises some good points that, you know, I don't know if you've ever noticed, but through the years, it seems to me, whether it's in the church, the fire department, the civic organizations of our community, doesn't matter what, whether it's any kind of board that you're on, there seems to be two different groups of people, and they almost seem to be on different ends of the spectrum. There are those who just can never say no. They say yes to everything. And you know that no matter how many times they're saying it, there's a good part of that they're going to get done because they are driven, motivated people. But you also know that some of that's going to fall to the wayside because life's just going to get too busy and nobody can fit that much stuff in one day. Yes, that's a confession for me. That's where I tend to end up on the spectrum. And then there's another end of the spectrum that says, that just is always saying, no, I can't do that. No, I don't have time for that. No, I'm busy with too many different things. No, I'm not qualified for that. No, I don't know what, I don't have what it takes to get that done. So I think at the underneath all of what Jesus is saying here, we really need to be reflective about what we say yes to and about what we say no to. And I think that's where being a people of prayer can come in real handy. Because God invites us to be in a relationship where we can ask about the things that we're being called to do. We can pray about the things that we're being called to do. Jesus knew that broken promises are one of those things that get in the way of relationships all the time. Has a broken promise ever gotten in the way for you? Has anybody ever promised to do something for you or do something and it didn't get done and you were left frustrated, angry, maybe tired because you were the one that had to step in and fill the gap because you weren't willing to let it go? Jesus knew that these things were important. He knew that words were powerful. You know, let's go back all the way to the beginning in Genesis. And God, in the one account of God creating the world, where God just speaks and things happen. Where light appears and land appears and water appears and all the birds begin to appear. Words are powerful. They can create something new. But they can also tear things down. They get in the way. Those little words of yes and no, Jesus knew they were powerful. We need to be very reflective and very cautious of how we use them. Because they make the world a different place. Think about those moments in a life when you've had a child or one of your own kids or maybe a grandchild, maybe somebody you teach that comes up to you and just wants a moment of your time. Just wants to share something that happened in their life. Just wants to share the line out of a book they're reading. Or wants you to look at something that's on television. Think of the difference that using that word yes or no in that very moment can make. There are all kinds of stories. Lives that have been changed just by somebody saying, yes, I'll take a minute to do that. I'm sure that we can all think of people in our lives that we're thankful for that have taken that time to just listen, to hear what's going on in our life. And again, Jesus was really being transparent with folks as he put out there why he does things, why he was doing things. And if you look at his whole ministry, he was doing that. He was putting his goals and his dreams right out there where people could embrace them, where people could laugh at them, where people could wonder about them, where people could wrestle with them in all kinds of different ways. And in some ways, maybe his transparency cost him his life when we look at it from a practical and earthly point of view. But we know there's so much more that was going on in his life, his death, and his resurrection. You know, as I've gone through this last week, I've had the opportunity, because of all kinds of things that are happening, to be with many different small groups in the church, doing different things, different tasks, being a part of different projects, being a part of lots of different conversations. And I have to tell you, it's a gift, it's a blessing to be able to be in these different places and to notice the things that are in common with them all. And there's one thing that I just want to lift up this morning that just seemed to pop up, because I think it really is, it talks about the importance of relationships in church. And we were saying, different people for different reasons have been saying, you know, it's amazing how you can go to church with people all your life. You can work on different projects with people all your life, but yet never really get to know them. You never really get to see what's happening in their life. You don't really know what they do with their time. Sometimes we know where they work, but you don't know what that's really all about. Sometimes we know what their hobbies are, but we don't really get to talk about how they're lived out. Sometimes it's easy to think that we've got to find a way to put together the perfect worship service, or the perfect supper, or do the perfect project, or put on the perfect meal. The list could go on forever of what we want to do perfect. But we forget that Jesus really in his teaching brings to life the fact that what it's all about is perfect relationships. And he knew that took work, and it takes work to build perfect relationships. And really, Jesus was building a faith community that was supposed to know how to make space to perfect relationships. And in a way, all of the things that that Jesus was doing with His disciples was about perfecting relationships with Him and with one another and with the people that they were meeting, that they were serving, and that they were caring for. The way they were getting there was more important than what was going to happen in the end. Jesus would even go so far when the disciples would be sent out into the world and they'd see all the same miracles that Jesus was doing happening for them. When they were speaking healing into people's lives and they were speaking miracles and deliverance from demons into people's lives. When they would come back excited about those things, Jesus would say, "Wait a minute. I told you all those things were going to happen, but don't get caught up in that. What's really important is that your name is written in the book of life. What's really important, in other words, is that you're enjoying the relationship that God wants you to have." So we need to think about when we're doing things. I think we need to look into our hearts and ask ourselves, how am I getting to know the people that I'm working with? How am I getting to know the people that I'm spending time with? How am I communicating with those people that I'm spending time with and working with? This needs to be at the heart of everything we do. And it's easy for that to get lost just because of who we are as a people. And this isn't a message to tear down things that we're doing. This is an invitation that God gives us to experience life in a more abundant way. Jesus says, "I come to give you life, and I come to give you abundant life." And that abundant life is found in the relationships we share with one another. Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Lord, we give you thanks that you're a God of invitations, that you come to us time and time again, every day, inviting us to draw closer to you, inviting us to draw closer to our neighbors, inviting us to experience your love, your grace, your mercy in deeper ways. I thank you for meeting each one of us right where we're at this morning. And I pray that you'd continue to work in our hearts as individuals and as a community of faith, teaching us how to be at work with one another, teaching us how to be in life with one another, teaching us how to care for one another, to lift one another up, to listen to one another, and to always leave the doors of our hearts and our minds open to connect with others that we meet along the way. Lord, we thank you that you're a God who's faithful to be with us through all the seasons of life. We thank you for being faithful to meet us here this morning. And we look forward to the ways that you'll meet us as we continue to grow as your people in this time and in this place. To you be the glory, Lord, now and forever. Amen.